Have you ever had an encounter or a dream that affected you so much that it changed your life? You know, in literature, we read about things like that. You could cite the dream of Dorothy of Kansas that carried her to the land of Oz and became a life-changing event for her. She travels down a yellow brick road, becomes a traveler searching for a way back home. You know, before her dream, all she could think of was getting away to a far, exciting country. And afterwards, all she could think of was, there's no place like home. Changed her life. And then there was Ebenezer Scrooge, one of my favorite. You know, he has an encounter with three Christmas ghosts that could be interpreted as a dream, if you want. And it resulted in a drastic change of life. Beforehand, he is a stingy, miserly, hateful old man. But after the dream, he's generous and just happy to be alive. Changed his life. And then there's, in the scriptures, a true story of a dream that changed a life. The life of Jacob. Deceitful, conniving Jacob. Who stole his brother's birthright. Who stole his brother's blessing, the place of prominence in the family and the largest share of the inheritance. Jacob, who was forced to flee his home to escape his brother's anger. He had a life-changing dream as well. But Jacob's dream was more than just fleeting thoughts going through his head. It involved a lot more than that. We find it in the book of Genesis, chapter 28, starting in verse 10. Jacob left Beersheba and set out for Haran. When he reached a certain place, he stopped for the night because the sun had set. Taking one of the stones there, he put it under his head and lay down to sleep. He had a dream in which he saw a stairway resting on the earth, with its top reaching to heaven, and angels of God were ascending and descending on it. There above it stood the Lord, and he said, I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham, the God of Isaac. I will give you and your descendants the land on which you are lying. Your descendants will be like the dust of the earth, and you will spread out to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south. All peoples on the earth will be blessed through you and your offspring. I am with you and will watch over you wherever you go and will bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until I've done what I promised you. When Jacob awoke from his sleep, he thought, surely the Lord is in this place, and I was not aware of it. He was afraid and said, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God. This is the gate of heaven. Early the next morning, Jacob took the stone he had placed under his head and set it up as a pillar and poured oil on it. He called that place Bethel, though the city used to be called Luz. And Jacob made a vow, saying, if God will be with me and will watch over me on this journey I am taking and will give me food to eat and clothes to wear so I return safely to my father's house, then the Lord will be my God, and this stone that I've set up will as a pillar will be God's house, and all that you will give me, I will give you a tenth. Now, that's quite a change in his life. He has a dream before, he's running away, he's stolen things from his brother, he's conniving, he's deceitful, his very name means deceitful. And after this dream, he says, Lord, if you keep me safe, Lord, you are in this place, I know that I'll be your follower. You will be my God. I know that you're in this place. I trust you. And his life changes. He starts doing things differently. You know, now when I say he had a dream, we need to think of dreams in a broader sense. We want to think of them in as dreams, as plans and ideas and goals and a plan of action for the future. That was Jacob's kind of dream. And that's what God has in mind for each of us. God has told us in Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. You see, God wants to give us a future. He wants to give us hope. He wants to give us the things that we need. He wants us to change our lives and be the kind of people he intends for us to be. Now, it's interesting to note the times when we realize that God has plans for us. Jacob's dream occurred when he was running away from home. He'd become a guilty, burdened wanderer, fleeing from an angry brother. He'd stolen the birthright for a bowl of stew. He was uncertain. He was afraid. He set out on an uncharted future. He'd not lived in a way that he deserved to hear from God, but he desperately needed to hear from God. We also find ourselves in a place like that. We don't always deserve to hear from God, but we need to hear from God. We need to hear things like Romans 5:8. God demonstrates His own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And Ephesians 2:8-9, for it's by grace you have been saved through faith, and that it's not of yourself, it's a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. It's not that we've done so many good things, it's that God loves us, and He wants us to have what is right. Paul writes to Timothy in 2 Timothy 1:8-9, so do not be ashamed to testify about our Lord, or ashamed of me as prisoner, but join with me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God, who has saved me and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we've done, but because of His own purpose and grace. You see, it's at times when we feel our need the most that the gospel holds the greatest appeal. It's when we feel like a poor, lonely traveler. When we feel alone. When we feel like nobody else cares. When we feel in spiritual exile, that the word is God is felt most powerfully in our life. God is a way of giving us hope and a plan in some of the most unlikely places. I mean, think about Moses. Moses is out in the middle of the desert in front of a scrubby bush, and God causes the bush to burn without burning up. And He speaks to Moses. There couldn't have been a more desolate place, and yet that's where God calls him and says, deliver my people from Egypt. It's interesting to note that Moses, like Jacob, was also on the run. He'd killed a man back in Egypt. He had to flee across the desert to Midian and was tending his father-in-law's sheep. God called him at the time when he didn't expect to hear from God. And then there's Elijah, hiding in a cave, fearing for his life. God spoke to him in a still, small voice and gave him renewed hope and purpose for the future. And here's Jacob on some bleak hilltop, running for his life from his brother, out in the middle of the wilderness, nothing going for him, and God's word comes to him and changes him. God's word can change us in the most unlikely times in our lives. His word can show us the way when we're suffering from the death of a loved one, when illness has robbed us of our will and our hope, when stress has worn us out, when pressures overwhelm us, when it seems like the rulers or the leaders, the people in charge, or even our friends are all going in one direction, and God says, you need to go a different way. A decision from the courts come out and everybody gets upset about it. And God said, that's the way it should be. And yet the country seems to be going in the opposite direction and we feel alone. Does anybody else care? Does anybody else feel what's right? It's at those times that God gives us hope and promise. His word can give us peace. It can give us hope. It can give us comfort. God's word can bridge the gap between heaven and earth and bring us guidance and a vision of God's plan for us. But if we're to see the plan that God has for our lives, if we are to live the way He wants us to live and do the things He wants us to do, we have to just not hear His word. We need to put it into practice. James 1:23, anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does. You see, if you want God's blessing, you not only have to read His word, you have to do what it says. Reading it is good, but doing it is what counts. Jesus said in Matthew 10:39, whoever finds his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. He said, if you want to find the plan that God has for your life, if you want to know what God wants you to do, you have to let go of it. If you're the one making all the plans all the time, if you say, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, this is how I've got it all laid out, there's no room for God to put His plan in your life. We need to allow Him to change our plans. Maybe we plan on doing this and something comes up that sends us in a different direction and we get upset about it. God says, I got something better for you. Let me guide your life. And you'll find out that things can happen to you never thought could happen before. He can make you the kind of person that you need to be, that He wants you to be, that will give you the happiness and peace and contentment you're looking for. And the good news is that anyone, even a scoundrel like Jacob, who's open and receptive, who will obey God's word, can become a new person. We can be changed by faith, as we're told in 2 Corinthians 5:7. We live by faith, not by sight. You see, the truth is that sometimes we need to step out. We need to get out of the way. Just step out of the way so that we can receive what God has planned for us. We get so full of ourselves sometimes that we don't have any room for God. We've got all the plans made. We've got all of our life planned out. And God says, hey, I've got a different plan for you. I've got a different way for you to go. We need to be able to see the Lord's leading to know what He wants us to be. None of us are what God wants us to be yet. We're all works in progress. We're told in Philippians 3, verse 12, not that I've already obtained this, or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I do not yet consider myself to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what's behind and straining toward what's ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Who wrote that? The Apostle Paul. Paul, who got a vision of Jesus on the road to Damascus. Paul, who suffered all kinds of things for Jesus. Paul, who was an apostle, and he said, I'm not there yet. I'm still working on it. You see, sometimes we think we got it all together. And we forget that God has plans for us too. And His plan's the one, only one that really counts. His plan is the only one that's really going to make a difference in our life. We need to be open to His plan. You know, in the story of Jacob, we see him as he was and what he could be. We see his broken past, his promising future. We too need to look into God's Word so that we can see what God wants us to be. We can see who we are now, what we could be, and the future He wants us to have. God told Jacob He'd be with him, He'd watch over him, that others would be blessed through him. And He promised us the same thing. He said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. And He asked us to simply show forgiveness and grace to others the way that God has shown forgiveness and grace to us. In Ephesians 4, Paul describes the vision that God has for His people, what He wants us to do and what He wants us to become. And it involves a change of our minds. Listen to Ephesians 4, verse 22 through 32. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, to put on the new self created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. You see, he says, you got to change your mind. You can't think the way you used to think before. Therefore, because of that, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to his neighbor, for we're all members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you're still angry. Do not give the devil a foothold. He who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with his own hands, that he might have something to share with those in need. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it might benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. How much has God forgiven us? Can we not forgive others? There's just so much going on in lives now that sometimes we forget that God is still the one in charge. And we start to feel like the world is closing in. The world is in control. Satan is taking over everything. No, God's still in charge. He still has a plan for us. And He will reveal that plan to us at the time when we're open to it. The bottom line, the good news, is that God is with us. He's present. He's planning our spiritual path. He's going to be faithful. Are you working toward the goal that the Lord has set for you? Are you letting His Word speak to you and transform your life? Are you letting His power help you overcome? 1 John 5:4 tells us, "For everyone born of God overcomes the world." This is the victory that's overcome the world, even our faith. And Jesus said in Revelation 3:21, "To him who overcomes, I will give the right to sit with me on my throne, just as I overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne." He wants us to win. He wants us to overcome. We look at the things going on around us and we feel like, boy, we're sure not on the winning side. Yes, we are. God wants us to win. He's promised that we will win. He said, "If you overcome, I will give you the right to sit down with me on my throne, just as I overcame." He said, "I did it." How'd Jesus overcome? Oh, everything was just rosy for Jesus, wasn't it? I mean, he just had the good life. He had everything. No. He was a man of sorrows, familiar with suffering. He died on a cross. And yet he said, "I've overcome." What do we need to be afraid of? What can people do to us? They can kill us. Great, we get to go and be with Jesus. Good. That's nothing to be afraid of. You know, I always think when Jesus raised Lazarus, one of the things the Scriptures tell us is that the Jews were so upset because Jesus raised Lazarus that they wanted to kill Lazarus. I mean, every time somebody saw Lazarus, they said, "Hey, that he was raised from the dead. Jesus must be the Messiah." The Jews said, "We can't have that. We've got to get rid of this guy." And so they threatened to kill Lazarus. How intimidated do you think Lazarus was? Lazarus said, "I've already been there. I know what it's like to die. I was in the grave for 4 days. You can't scare me with that. I know what's there." Paul says the same thing. For me to depart and be with Christ is so much better. And yet we get so afraid of everything. God has a plan for us. The bottom line is that God's in charge. And He's faithful. He's going to keep His promise. If we're open and receptive, even in barren, desolate places, even in lonely periods of life, even when things seem to be going all against us, He'll give us a hope, a future, and a purpose. Will you open your heart to Jesus today? No matter where you are in life, God has a purpose for you. He has a promise for you. The promise of eternal salvation for those who obey Him. You know, sometimes we feel like we're out on a lonely pier. Life is a long walk. And times we feel alone, but we're never alone because God is always with us. He's told us that if we obey His commands, that we can find the salvation, that we can find the light at the end of the tunnel we're looking for. He's told us that we must believe that He's God's Son, that we must repent of our sins and look to Him for hope and purpose, that we must confess His name, that we must be baptized to wash away our sins in His cleansing blood. He said in Mark 16:16, "Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. Whoever does not believe will be condemned." You see, the Scriptures lay it all out for us. Jesus laid it out for His disciples. He told them this in Matthew 28:18. "Then Jesus came and said, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I'm with you always to the end of the age.'" He said, go and make disciples, baptize them to take away their sins, and then teach them everything I've taught you. Why is the teaching so important? Because if we're going to live the life God wants us to have, if we're going to be open and receptive to the things going on around us, we're told in the Scriptures that He has already prepared good works for us to do. He's already put them in place. All we have to do is see them and do them. If we're going to do those things, we need to understand what He's told us. We need to know everything He's commanded us. That's why we need to study His Word. That's why we need to learn all we can about Him. So this morning, there is a choice for you to make. Will you let His blood cleanse you in baptism? And His Word teach you and guide you, showing you what you can become, what you can be transformed into? We invite you to choose your path this morning. If you need to obey the Lord in baptism, if you need to have your brothers and sisters pray for you that you might have the strength to do the things you know you need to do, you have that opportunity. We invite you to come forward as you stand together and sing our invitation song.